Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezsource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezsource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss the business of baseball, Team Israel, and the new Sports Epreneur podcast. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Ty Kelly, professional baseball player for the Los Angeles Angels. Ty also spent time with the New York Mets. John Priori, a content marketer at our company, is a fan of all things Mets, and as a result, we had John handle this interview. As you'll hear, John is most impressed with how Ty carries himself as a professional and as a utility player. Ty is in his 11th season as a professional baseball player. Ty's examples of always being ready to focus on building his personal brand were on full display in our chat. His success on and off the field have us so excited to feature him on this podcast. Before we get into that, we wanted to let you know that segments of this chat will help kickstart our new Sports Epreneur podcast. Be sure to check it out at sportsepreneur.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Ty Kelly.
The first thing I wanted to talk about, which is obviously fresh and new to you, is the business side of baseball. So free agency, getting traded. You were obviously just a free agent, so you've been through that process. What was the process of free agency like for you, and what is that process in general?
Yeah, I mean, free agency is crazy right now. It's everything has gotten so pushed back just as far as how long everything takes in the off season. My first year as a free agent, I signed like 2 days into the off season, so it's quite a bit different now. Still tons of guys yet to sign, with spring training, you know, starting like within the week. So it's been a lot different experience than it used to be. You know, it can be definitely trying for a lot of guys that aren't sure if they're going to get jobs, or, you know, for the remaining major league free agents who aren't sure if they're going to have to end up taking a minor league deal. It feels kind of like the Wild West of free agency right now. It's just kind of, you guys are going to have to start taking deals as quick as they can just to get a job, you know. But, you know, I was lucky this offseason to be able to get another job. And I'm also at a point in my career where I've played for 10 years. And so I was never really worried either way if I was going to, you know, get an offer and be able to sign or not. So I was pretty confident that, you know, I'm going to be fine no matter what. So for me, I was all right with everything, but other guys definitely are living day to day, wondering if they're, you know, going to be able to sign somewhere. And it can be definitely trying for guys that really want to keep playing, really want to stay in the game. So it's an interesting time with the way free agency has evolved.
It sure has. And I mean, one of the funniest parts of this offseason was your tweet about when you signed with the Angels. Talking about how Bryce Harper and Manny Machado can now sign. But it goes back to the future of baseball and the problem that these two of the best baseball players are unsigned and we're heading into spring training, right?
I mean, and not even just that, there's, you know, so many other guys too. And I imagine that some of the other guys are pushed back because of them waiting for contracts. But, you know, I mean, hopefully things really do start falling into place soon so that fans can, you know, watch players that have had proper preparation with their teams.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you talked about yourself kind of on a personal note either way, because you're what, heading into your 30s almost? You're 29, right?
And
you
talked about, I'm 30 already.
You're 30? Okay. Talk about it. You weren't worried either way. That kind of goes into building your brand off the baseball field. So you've been doing that. You've been creating content. What have you been thinking about when it comes to life after baseball?
Yeah, so I hadn't thought about it too much, I guess. I met Matt Perret a couple of years ago, and he definitely had a very good idea of, you know, how to create a brand, and he was pushing to you know, to kind of have a backup plan for life after baseball. And, you know, we started making some YouTube videos together and things like that. And I think I really learned a lot from him just about, you know, not so much having a backup plan, because you're always kind of, you're always thinking about that, but to be able to promote yourself and to show yourself to fans and just try to grow, you know, an audience or just a fan base, because it's not just good for you, but it's good for baseball and good for athletes in general. You know, there are plenty of stereotypes about, you know, athletes being, you know, only good at one thing. And it's not true for anyone. That everyone has got, you know, a bunch of different interests, and it can be hard at times because, you know, the first thing that happens when you show too much of yourself to fans and then you don't play well is that, you know, you need to stick to baseball, you need to practice more, you need to get in the batting cage or something like that. And I think that it scares a lot of guys away from wanting to show too much about their outside interests, even though, you know, everyone is really good at something else outside of baseball. Everyone is really interested in a bunch of other things. So it's been good for me. I mean, everyone has been really supportive of me playing music and posting that, or posting pictures, or, you know, or whatever the case may be. So it's been really easy and really fun. You have a built-in audience already with, you know, being fans of you for playing baseball. So it's nice to be able to show some other interests and other, you know, other talents. So yeah, it's, But really, I learned a lot of that from Matt. So I think a lot of guys don't realize that they can do that, and that fans do want to see who they are as people, because it really humanizes everyone. And I think that that's a good thing for, you know, for everyone, that athletes are all just regular people. Once you pull back the facade of the stage that they're on, the stadium or arena or whatever. So
yeah, I get it. I mean, that's, it makes you super relatable. And I think when I talk to, whether it's one of my cousins who's other Mets fans, when I talk to Mets fans in general, what we loved about you is to say you're relatable. Like it kind of feels like you're one of the guys, if that makes sense. You know, you're putting out these videos, you're putting out a video of you singing, right? Or whatever it is, it kind of allows you to connect with the fans on a deeper level than you just going out there and playing baseball. Like, you can do all these other things. And in today's world, with whether it's social media, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, you can connect with the fans, you can connect with yourself to build that brand for yourself far after the game is over, because, you know, the game of baseball takes up, what, maybe an eighth of your life, and you have to kind of focus on thinking about what you're going to do outside of it and just connecting with fans and other people in a different way. And I think it's awesome that you're getting into it and you're still doing a lot more into it. So it's great. So let's talk about your time with Team Israel. I know that was very important to you. You guys had an unbelievable run where you guys were, you know, what, originally ranked like 41st in the world, defeated South Korea, went on, kind of just overcame a lot of different obstacles. Talk about your time with Team Israel and what it meant to you.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, it all started with a group of 10 of us getting to go to Israel and just take a trip for free and get to see the country in like 6 or 7 days. It was amazing. We got to see basically everything we could. We just packed in everything, and it was awesome. There's so much, you know, history and tradition there, and it's just a once in a lifetime thing. That, I mean, getting to go to the Middle East is amazing, and getting to see what we were, you know, what we were going to end up playing for is it was a really cool experience. And then, of course, the actual tournament was, I mean, it was one of the most fun baseball experiences I've ever had, for sure. You know, getting to play in Korea and winning that, and then getting to go to Japan. The atmosphere in those stadiums is something like nothing we have in America, of course. You know, everyone has songs that all of the fans in the stadium know. And it's just a ridiculous experience to be playing baseball in. So yeah, the whole thing was amazing. And then like you said, we did pretty well. And I think by the end of it, we were just so gassed from being out of the country for like 2 straight weeks and, you know, I think we just ran out of a little bit of energy, and but you know, the whole thing was just so much fun. And you know, when it's when tournaments like these are spread out every 3 to 4 years, it's hard to know how many you'll be able to be a part of and how many runs like that you'll be able to put together. So I'm definitely very appreciative for being able to be a part of that team.
Right. Was there something to it that was, it just kind of felt like more? Because I know what you played in a playoff game with the Mets, but there was something about playing in the World Baseball Classic for an entire country that kind of has your back that makes it more than just playing, you know, I mean, obviously playing for the city of New York is big, but you're playing for the entire country of Israel. You're playing for all the supporters here all across the world. I know you had a game in Miami where you got emotional playing about Team Israel, talking about all that. So was there more to it than just a game of baseball?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because it wasn't even just the country. I mean, we're playing for Jewish people everywhere. I mean, it was amazing the fan support that we got in America, people cheering for us, and even, you know, non-Jewish people in America that supported us because we were the underdog story. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were playing for all of these different people that rallied behind us because of who we were and because of, you know, the implications of what we were representing. I mean, the coolest thing is that we were able to wear the Star of David on our hats and jerseys and be proud of that. You know, it's easy to remember the last time that the Star of David was placed on people so that they were identified. I mean, in the Holocaust, that's what happened. And it was something so negative. And for a long time, it's something that, you know, people have been ashamed of, and to be able to wear that proudly and represent all these different people and do it as athletes and as people that are just, you know, proud to be Jewish and have that heritage, it means a lot more than just playing baseball. And whether we, you know, whether we did well or not, it's great to be able to have worn, you know, the jersey and hat like that, and to see people still supporting us and still talking about the run we had and still buying the hats with the Star of David on them. And I mean, it's just way more than baseball.
It is. That's awesome. I mean, it's incredible, the impact. And it kind of goes to show what a guy like you or whatever, any athlete kind of has that pull that can really bring people together to talk about more than just a game. It's a lot bigger than just a game. And it's a lot of people who, like you said, it really brought them up in a positive way, which is makes a big impact. So let's kind of, I just want to get into your baseball journey a little bit. So talking about what is it like to be a professional baseball player? You know, obviously for yourself, you've been around a little bit. You've done a lot of traveling, obviously coming up and down for the Mets, but that's not a easy haul, right? Because it's Vegas to New York. It's not like that anymore, but Vegas to New York a good bit. You know, traveling often. Now you're off in LA. So you don't necessarily have that home. You may have a home, but during the season, you're just constantly doing travel. What is that like?
You know, I assume that some guys do have real homes that they get to go back to every year, but I've always been in and out of apartments, basically. So I know exactly how much of my things fit in my car, and I know exactly how to pack one suitcase for 6 months. it's things that you know, most people are not thinking about. You just the logistics of, you know, of traveling around the country and trying to pack clothes to be ready for cold weather and hot weather alike, and how many collared shirts you're going to need, and mm-hmm. which shoes you absolutely need to bring because you only have room for so much. But it's, I mean, that's just one small part of it. Yeah. Like I said, I've always been in and out of apartments, so I've never quite been able to have a home, but at the same time, I've been able to live in whatever places I want to in the off season. I spent the first 4 years of my, or the first 4 off seasons finishing school. So I was in Davis, going to UC Davis. So I spent 4 off seasons there going to school, basically living the college life, working out with the team and things like that. And then the next 4 off seasons I got to spend in San Diego. in different parts of town, and then the last couple have been in Los Angeles. So, you know, there are some drawbacks from not having a house to come back to, but at the same time, I've got to live in some pretty cool places. Obviously, getting a little bit better every off season as I have moved up the ranks in baseball and gotten some actual money to be able to pay for an apartment. So, yeah, that's basically been my living in the off seasons. But, you know, talking about during the season, going up and down is, I mean, it's really not the, from Vegas to New York is really tough and definitely understandable why they'd want to move their minor league team to Syracuse to just be able to call guys up and down when they need them. But, I mean, the hardest travel is when you're, you know, just getting into professional baseball and you're traveling around on bus everywhere and you're doubled up pretty much every road trip and, you know, traveling 12, 13 hours sometimes. I mean, that's the tough travel. And you just hope that you have a bus where you can spread out a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of the traveling situation. Yeah. And
that's the journey, huh? So, I mean, obviously, as you moved up the ranks, it gets easier, especially if you make it to the majors or even AAA makes it a little easier. But you have to go through those times where, you know, you're traveling on buses, you're doing the, it's just no different than in the business world. You know, if you're, whether you're an intern or you're doing grunt work, like you have to build up the ranks and, you know, you've learned that, you've done that as well. So that's an easy thing to translate into from sports to business as well. But you've kind of spent a lot of time adapting, even you're on the field play, because what, last year you played every position except for catcher? You even pitched, what, you pitched one inning, right?
I didn't pitch last year, but I did get an inning when I was with Tacoma in AAA. So yeah, I've played everywhere except for catcher, and then started at every position besides pitcher and catcher. So yeah, I've gotten done quite the journey around the field. Also,
that's right. Well, I mean, it goes to say something, because it's, you know, when they need your name called at whatever position, you know, you have to be ready. And I know every position is completely different, but it's just kind of adapting like you've been doing. And that's that utility tag that you get when you go to a team like the Mets or the Angels. They need, you know, they need you. They need guys like you who they can plug in on any given night at any given position. What is that like? So going from second base to outfield, is that a big transition mentally?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as big a transition anymore just because I've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whenever I am ever talking to like little leaguers or little league parents or whatever, I'm always advocating for, you know, just move everyone around as much as possible because it's going to help out at some point. And you know, for me, I just got lucky that I kind of got that utility tag pretty early on in my career. So I was able to get tons of experience everywhere. For the first couple years of my career, I only played second and third. And then just out of necessity, I got thrown in the outfield a little bit and I did fine. So I was able to move out there. I got that on my resume, and then I, you know, started kind of moving around more from there, play a little bit of left, and then they say, okay, you'll play a little bit of right, and then you just kind of slowly get to play more and more positions as you keep that utility tag. So I was just really fortunate to be able to have gotten so much experience at every position at this point that, you know, getting moved around, I have an idea of how to set up, you know, for different hitters and to just be ready for all different kinds of plays, because there's really no simulating every type of play that you're going to get at every position besides getting in game and getting experience and doing a bunch of different movements and, you know, going after balls different ways and how things are going to, you know, at third, everything's going to have topspin, or if you're playing second, you have tons of time and you can go back on balls if you need to. And in the outfield, just the way you set up in left and right is kind of, you can either, you know, mirror your stance or you can set up the same way and go after balls like that. So, I mean, you just kind of have to get experience everywhere. And at this point, I know exactly what I'm going to do at every different position.
Right. No, that's good. I mean, that's perfect. And you had touched on this as well, as getting experience. It all starts somewhere. So, I mean, it starts in the little leagues. you've obviously been there before, but I want to talk about youth sports and Little League baseball, for example. First question, this is a random question, but you know how every kid wants to play Major League Baseball. Was that your goal as a kid?
I don't remember ever having that as like my goal. I mean, I definitely remember my parents telling me that I was going to play like baseball and basketball, like professionally, and also be like an astronaut and stuff. So I don't remember ever having like a clear goal of one thing. I think that whatever season it was, I always just assumed that I was going to be a pro in that sport. And then I never really thought about it from there. I think you just keep playing and then things just happen. And that's at least the way it was for me. I always really loved, you know, playing every sport growing up, and I played basketball all the way through high school also. So I always really enjoyed that. And then, you know, things just kind of panned out this way, I guess. I mean, I didn't really even know how far I would go in baseball, if I'd get drafted or anything. I mean, I wasn't like hugely recruited out of high school, and I wasn't, you know, I'm not a huge guy. I'm not like 6'4", 220 and hitting a bunch of homers or anything. So you never really know. And I kind of always just remember just playing and enjoying all of the sports equally.
Yep. Oh, that's good. I mean, because a big topic now is specialization in youth sports. So, you know, like when parents will take their kids and make them play baseball for the entire year. But it's kind of, there have been studies, there have been facts, you know, obviously pro athletes come out too and say, hey, you know, let them play baseball, let them play basketball, let them play different sports, because it'll help them in that long run, which kind of gives them that utility tag to where they aren't just playing baseball 24/7 and going through the motions and then they get burnt out from it or whatever it is. So
definitely. And I think a big part of why I've never been injured in my career is because I've always been playing a bunch of different sports. And even in the off season, I'll still play basketball, like one-on-one with friends or something like that. And just putting your body through a bunch of different things. I mean, if all you ever do is the same baseball movements over and over again, I mean, your body's not going to be used to anything else. And when you get thrown in a game and something weird happens, you're not going to know how to react. So I think that's a big part of why I've been able to stay on the field for my whole career.
Yeah. So I guess going into that, the other question I had for you, I was looking through your Instagram page. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and obviously that's where the All-Star game is going to be this weekend. It's such a buzz around here right now, pun intended, because it's the Hornets. But you played against James Harden in the state championship game. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. And he was a junior. I was a senior. And yeah, I mean, he was really good. Their whole team was unbelievable. They only lost one game all year to some team from like Ohio or something like that earlier in the season. Yeah, I mean, they were awesome. And it was pre-beard James Harden at 16 years old. But he was already really good.
And shut him down?
And no, we had no chance. We actually were missing two of our best players, a couple injuries, had sidelined a couple of our best players, one of whom actually went and played in Europe for like 8 years, which was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we had a really good team all year. And then, I mean, even with those guys, we probably still wouldn't have won. They were so good. They had a 7-footer. They had James Harden as a junior. They had their point guard went to Arizona State also. Their other guard went to Indiana. They were stacked. So, but it was fun, and it's been fun to follow his career and kind of remember the way he was, you know, back then. And we just kind of a side note of that game, my dad and I used to always go watch the state tournament every year in California. So I've seen basically, you know, for like 10 years, we would go watch it when I was growing up, and we'd go watch the NorCal championship and then like the state championship games. So I saw so many good players come through, and it's just really cool when you get to see guys like that come through high school, and then you see how their careers pan out and kind of remember the way they played and things like that. Like I saw Tyson Chandler play in high school, you know, a bunch of other guys, Chuck Hayes in high school, was on some really good teams, Matt Barnes, just so many different players.
It's incredible. I mean, especially going back to yourself, is just talking about, you know, you're you played both baseball and basketball. You obviously played in major leagues in baseball, but in basketball, you know, you've still got these credentials playing against James Harden, right? I mean, that's awesome. That's what it's all about. So you obviously just signed with the Angels. You're probably going to be most likely in the minors, whatever they'll have you do. That's kind of the career you've been doing, right? You have that utility tag. I'm sure he'll be up and down a little bit. Are you excited for this season? What do you have coming up?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just excited to be able to go to Arizona spring training, honestly. I've only gotten to do it one time in my whole career, and it's just so much more convenient for me coming from California and getting to actually, like I was talking about earlier, you've got to pack one suitcase for your season. Well, I get to actually drive to spring training, so I get to take, you know, all the things that I might end up needing in cold weather of Salt Lake at the beginning of the year, and then once it heats up throughout the season. So I'm excited to get to go to Arizona. I've talked to some other guys, you know, about getting together in Arizona, getting lunch. A guy I played with last year, Cody Ashey, talked to him. Jay Bruce is going to be in Peoria. So I'm excited to be able to get to do that and see some guys that I wouldn't normally be able to if I were in Florida and having to travel, you know, 3 hours to get to the next city. So excited for that. And then being back in the PCL and in Salt Lake should be a lot of fun, and getting to play in front of some family in Sacramento and Fresno and places like that is always fun.
This is the closest you've ever been to home, correct, in your professional career?
Yeah. And Vegas is, yeah, I guess, yeah. I don't know which one's closer, but yeah, Salt Lake and Vegas are probably like the same distance. So yeah, my dad will get to come out and watch some games, and yeah, and then and both my parents will get to come to, like I said, like Sacramento and Fresno are pretty close. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
It's always nice to be able to do that.
Yep. Yeah, we'll definitely be rooting for you guys. We'll get all this in front of, you know, Angels fans, Met fans, you know, Jewish baseball fans and Jewish people in general. I mean, I think they'll appreciate your inside thoughts and knowledge, especially talking about something that's bigger than baseball, talking about all of that.
You know, like I was mentioning earlier, there's tons of guys with tons of interests and hobbies and talents outside of, you know, whatever sport they're playing. So it's cool to be able to come on and talk a little bit about everything. And hopefully you guys get some more athletes on and they get to talk about whatever, you know, whatever unique things they're into. Yeah, I just think that everyone has something to offer. So yeah, it's nice to get a platform to be able to show that off.
We'll be rooting for you. We'll be behind you. And we appreciate having your perspectives, having you on here. Best of luck this season.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on.
Ty, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your Major League Baseball stories to how baseball is more than just a game, we are all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Ty on always being ready and getting the job done are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Ty, thank you. And for anyone looking to follow Ty throughout his season, we encourage you to follow him on social media. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our Kazsource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.